All right, how are we doing?
I'll host, I guess.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are pleased to select
Marc-Andre
Fleury, Evgeny Malkin,
Sidney Crosby,
Jordan Staal,
Simon Dupre,
Bo Bennett, Joe Morrow.
You're following the road to the 2012 NHL Draft right here on the Pens Nation Radio Show with Nick Richter.
I do see the benefit of drafting the best available position or the best available player in the draft.
Andy Hughes.
He was on the first power play unit as well. He has a good shot from the point. I like that. I like that a lot.
Ashley Langlois.
In terms of what he's going to actually bring to the team, I guess time will tell. So, you know, it's got the potential to pan out to be something really good.
Ken Will.
I think it's almost just as risky, if not more risky, to take a defenseman who needs to work on skating or anything like that. That's such a fine skill for the National Hockey League. It's such, I mean, that's the game breaker for whether or not you're an NHL player or whether you're in the NHL or anywhere else.
And Joe Depto.
This guy did a nice job in the postseason. It's a pretty high-pressure situation. So I do think that that is encouraging. The other thing that I think is very encouraging about this pick is that it kind of gives you a little bit more of options as time goes on down the line.
Yes, you can call into the hotline at 347-202-0344. Now, on to the show. Good evening, hockey fans. Welcome to another edition of the Pens Nation Radio Show right here during Draft Week 2012, where we are only 2 days away from the first round of the 2012 NHL Draft right here in Pittsburgh. And once again, I'm Andy Hughes. I'm joined by Ashley Langlois, Ken Will, and a very special guest, Mr. Jesse Marshall from Faceoff Factor, faceofffactor.com. You can check out all of his articles about, especially about the draft, some very interesting stuff, some good rankings to look at. Guys, how you doing tonight?
Great.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm kind of marveling. I didn't really pay much attention until now, but Joe Depto rambles in the intro. we can't shut him up ever, even when he's on tape.
He's not here tonight, but he was in the intro. So, guys, guests, you can call into the show at 347-202-0344. We'll be on to about 10:45 tonight live, the live edition. But tonight, before we get to the draft talk, we had the NHL awards tonight, and we're only going to focus on the actual awards. We're not going to talk about the presentations and the music, and we're not going to talk about any of that stuff because what's really important here is Evgeny Evergreen Malkin.
Evergreen
Malkin. What did the first guy say? It sounded like he's ever. I forget what it was. It was really bad. He really butchered it.
Remember when he first came over and started playing for the Penguins? There was a discrepancy over how to pronounce his last name.
It was Malkin.
Malkin.
Milkman.
I remember Milkman TV making fun of that. And now it just seems like nobody can say Evgeny or Evgeny or people were having difficulty with that.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is he wins the Hart Memorial Trophy, Ted Lindsay Award, and the Art Ross Trophy. It's his second Art Ross. First Hart. He was the runner-up in 2008 and 2009. So great news to see Gina win those awards, and obviously the Ted Lindsay Award, very important too, which is voted by the players, which is a huge honor for Gino. And guys, what a fantastic season by Gino. Obviously a great season on the ice, but man, you got to love what he said, his speech, kind of dedicating it to Sergei Gonchar, one of his best friends, obviously a former Penguin, and still keeping in contact, still hanging out all the time. And I thought that was a pretty cool moment by Gino tonight. And that kind of shows what a person he is.
Yeah, clearly a very sincere moment too. You could tell it was coming from the heart with Gino, and stumbled through the English there just a little bit, but that made it a little bit more endearing.
The world needed a good Gino interview. It was just time.
We had that void. It's been too long.
My favorite from tonight still is my mom is good cooking.
Yeah.
No, he said that before. I remember one of the, I think it was on Versus, there was an interview about his parents. I think it was at Mellon Arena. It might have been a playoff game, and he mentioned that. The cooking. He loves mom. Loves his mom cooking. So, and I think he
loves borscht.
He does, and I think he tells his teammates to. I think some of his teammates want to go over there just to try it out. So, great cooking, and obviously whatever she's feeding him is working. Because a great season. He joins Wayne Gretzky, Mary Lemieux, Sidney Crosby, Jaromir Jagr, Phil Esposito, Guy LaFleur, Martin St. Louis, and Alex Ovechkin. He's only the ninth player in NHL history to get the Hart Trophy, the Lindsay Award, and the Art Ross Trophy in the same season. So joining pretty elite company there, and he the fourth player in franchise history to win the Hart Trophy, Lemieux, Jagr, and Crosby, the other ones. And also we need to give a shout-out to James Neal, who is, in addition to Gino, was named to the first team All-Star squad. So congrats to James Neal. So pretty big day here for the Penguins at the NHL Awards. And we've been really, really spoiled with some great players. I mean, you look at some teams that they haven't had a Hart Trophy winner at all, and we've had so many pretty recently with Lemieux, Crosby, Jagr, and now Malkin. So great. Definitely
give a lot of teams that are thankful to have somebody in the top 20 in scoring.
That is true.
And here we are. We're pissed off when we don't have someone in the top 5, if that ever happens, which has been pretty rare over the last 25 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely happy to have Gino on our squad and Crosby, and we've been very lucky. But looking at some of the other awards, Norris Trophy, Erik Karlsson. Did you guys – we talked a little bit about this last night. You guys surprised at all by that, considering I know me – Joe and Nick we thought that Zdeno Chara would win it just because of, Erik Karlsson, it doesn't have the, he's great offensively, obviously, but defensively was, I felt that, Chara had the defense, the leadership, and the offense, more the total package than Karlsson, but, I mean, I guess Karlsson, he obviously deserves some recognition for the points that he got, but did it come to you as a surprise that Karlsson won the Norris?
It does to me. I might agree with you. Probably even throw Shea Weber's name in there.
Yeah,
you know, just guys that, are a little bit more reliable on the back end. But on the other hand, what he did offensively was really special.
It was.
It was kind of rare to see that. And, this is one of those Norris wins where that's what your primary focus is going to be. So, I'm interested too, on that note, to see what happens with his contract. That might dictate what the Penguins have to do, with Letang here shortly too. So, adding a Norris win to his resume, doesn't do us a whole lot of favors on that end.
No, not at all. And you look at Jack Adams Award, Ken Hitchcock, Rocket Richard, obviously Steven Stamkos, 60 goals, Calder Trophy, Gabriel Landeskog. Figured he would win that one. General Manager of the Year, Doug Armstrong, the St. Louis Blues. So St. Louis Blues, the front office sweep, as they get the Coach of the Year and the General Manager of the Year. Selke Trophy, Patrice Bergeron, very underrated player. It was good to see him win that. Masterton Trophy, Max Pacioretty from the Canadiens.
Terrible.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that one either.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people. I saw a lot of people tweet about that one. And another one, too, another people were tweeting about Mark Messier Leadership Award, Shane Doan.
Yeah.
A lot of people had some words about that one. The Vezina Trophy going to Henrik Lundqvist, who dropped an F-bomb tonight.
Those are goalies. Jonathan Quick at the Stanley Cup Parade, 3 times in a matter of like 15 seconds. Henrik Lundqvist can't control his mouth. I'm behaving tonight.
You are. At least you're not dropping the F-bomb tonight, Kev.
Early.
Yeah, that's true. It's very early on. The show is young. It took about 35 minutes. But guests we'd like to call in, 347-202-0344. We still got a lot of time, plenty of time for some calls. If you want to talk about the NHL awards, Evgeny Malkin, any of the awards really, the draft, which we're going to get into now. And Jesse, I'll start with you. Looking, we're only 2 days away here from the first round. Is there a specific guy that is kind of flying under the radar right now, in your opinion, maybe a prospect that isn't getting the attention that he should and may be kind of like a sleeper in this draft?
Yeah, I think that I'd probably immediately go to Tim Bozon. You know, what's interesting about this year is that if you look around at the various rankings, whether that be the Central Scouting or the ISS or, you know, any of the other various independent outlets, nobody is after number one. Nobody has a ranking that's even remotely close to anybody else's. That's complete crapshoot this year. But if you're talking about guys that are just generally getting looked over, I think you see Tim Bozon, who played for Kamloops of the Western Hockey League this year, ranked outside of the top 35 a lot. We have him at 25. He's a decent size forward. He's at 6 foot, but he plays smaller than that. I think a lot of people were concerned about his defensive play, but the interesting thing about him is he's even at 6 foot able to kind of get behind the defense and really, you know, sneak into those high scoring areas and just rip these one timers off. So great guy at the wing, good skater, really elusive offensively, and kind of reminds you of the guy that can score big time goals at the NHL level. And but with the skating thing and his you know, he's you know, not really the most outgoing guy on the ice. You don't, you know, he's not going to lay the big hit, and there's a little bit of an element of, you know, kind of quiet to his game. I think that scares a lot of people, but I think for him to be ranked outside the top 35 mostly everywhere is kind of one of the biggest crimes out there. And now all of a sudden at the end of the year, he's one of those guys that people are kind of sneaking in to the first round. But I think that if somebody can get him, the earlier the better, I would say. If you can get him in the first round, I still feel like that's going to be a steal.
Now, looking at the, obviously, like a lot of people, we have Neil Yakupov as the top prospect available in this draft. I liked your tweet earlier. You said, you know, this is a guy you're going to hate once a year because he's one of those guys that, you know, when you play him, you're just going to hate him. And you know, just watching his highlight reels, unbelievable. Just talk a little bit about him and what he could bring to, well, we'll see what team it is, but the Edmonton Oilers do have the number one pick. If they go with Yakupov, I mean, what would he be bringing to that team?
Well, you know, I think if you look at the landscape of his peers, you stay with like a Stamkos, Nugent Hopkins, Hall, a lot of the top overall picks in the last couple years. Offensively, he is as good or better than them, but he has the attitude of a third-line grinder. So it's a very rare combination.
Yeah.
It doesn't come along all that often. And one of the interesting things that I tell a lot of people is that trouble will find you if you're a good offense, if you're a star, right? You know, nobody's gonna let you just walk in there. And you look at the battles that Crosby and Malkin can get into after the whistle. But the thing about Mel Yakupov is he finds that himself. You know, he doesn't wait for you to come at him. He's going to find you. And there were some games this year where maybe it's 2-3-0 Sarnia, all's quiet, let's just get this thing over with, 5 minutes left, and he shoots a puck to the net, drives in on the goal, sprays the ice, and then throws his hands up in somebody's face. So, you know, he's the one initiating this stuff. So you don't get that a lot. You know, he draws, a lot of people said today, well, it just sounds like he's maybe another Alex Ovechkin, very different player. I think Yakupov pushes the line a little bit more. You know, the big highlight everybody always watches is he put somebody through the glass last year. That's his game. But the great thing that I think you'll see at the NHL level, and I think you'll see it early, is when he gets the puck on his stick and it's him versus one other guy, whether that just be the goaltender or defenseman, he will do things that you'll get your DVR, but you'll be rewinding it because he just does things that are unbelievable one-on-one. His hands, he's a magician. So it's a really rare combination that hasn't come across in a long time. And I think if you take him and supplant him in all the last couple of draft classes before this, he's still going to go number one.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the universal opinion. We've been talking about Yakupov for a while, and it came down to, in the draft lottery, Columbus and Edmonton, and Edmonton's right up there again, and Columbus.
Of course.
I'm just going to shut up about the Blue Jackets because I get myself in trouble every freaking show. but yeah, Edmonton with another lucking out over there. And it's going to be interesting to watch the Western Conference these next couple of years. But how's the rest of this draft? Rate the depth of this draft as opposed to the last few years. Is it like 2003 where we see so much talent coming into the league? Or is it going to be a little bit sparse where after Yakupov there's a major drop-off?
Well, I think there's two answers to this. I think that in terms of overall depth, if you would have said 6 months ago, how's this draft, people would tell you it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That's changed a lot. I think primarily because people have had time to nitpick. In 2012, when you're going into the 2011 draft, you're not focused on 2012 immediately. So you catch these kids and you see things and you make these general assessments. But as the year winds down, you start to see these things that you nitpick here and there. And I think that that took a little bit away from the overall depth. It's still good. And I'll say that the top 50 is comparable to 2003. Talent top end isn't there, but there's a lot of kids that'll play in the NHL. It's probably going to be in a bottom six role. It'll be in a role-playing role. But they're all made to play at the next level. So there's something to be said for that. But now the other answer is, if you're looking for a defenseman, this is one of the best drafts to come around in a long time. The top
good news, Bens fans.
Yeah, right, great. Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is, and I mentioned this yesterday, the good news on that front is it's top-end defense. Now you've got it through 20 to 30. You've got it through even 15 to 30. But you have a drop there after about 11 or 12. Where you start to come into these forwards, and then there's a real big mix of forwards there. So that when the Penguins get through that initial push, I think you're going to see, you know, it's always tough to say what their best player available is going to be, but there's a high level of certainty that it might be a forward. So, but defensively, one of the things that's going to make this very chaotic is that you basically, if you are needing a defenseman, pick what you want, because you get literally anything in the first 12. There's huge variations in the way these guys play, how they approach the game, their upside, what their future projects to be. You don't see two guys that are the same. So I think you'll have Yakupov go, but then when if he doesn't, that'll make it even crazier. But if, assuming Edmonton takes him, once Columbus makes that pick, it's going to be, totally guys going off the board here and there and everywhere. So I think it's going to be really chaotic. I think that, when some defensemen disappear, you're going to have teams reaching. I think maybe some trading going on. But overall depth, it's, like I said, NHL comparable, maybe not the superstar talent, but defense-wise is what makes this special as compared to other years.
Yeah, and then that is going to be really interesting to see how it does, and then see how it all boils down to. I mean, we're not going to see the Penguins actually doing any work until, as of right now, the 22nd overall pick. So it's going to be a while. That said, Ray Shiro could make a move to where he actually trades up. And let's talk a little bit about a current situation on the team that could possibly affect things tomorrow. And this is kind of some speculation right now, but there were reports that that Jordan Staal won't resign or negotiate any renewal of his contract with Ray Shiro this summer. So Shiro might be looking to be proactive in that situation, and the draft might be a time to make a type of move like that. And the Carolina Hurricanes do have the eighth overall pick, and if there were a package in somewhere like that, well, first of all, what are your hopes? Let's just stay with what the Penguins actually have right now. I know I just went off into a little spinning tie right here, but 22nd. Like, what is your pipe dream hope for the Penguins in that first round?
Okay, I would say one of two things. They both are related to forwards, obviously. Brandon Gaughan, Belleville, center. I don't want to say a Jordan Staal replacement. That's not, but he's that kind of guy. He could possibly fall down to 22. especially in the defense mesh there. He could be a guy that's looked over. And then I would also say Nick Kurtulis, who's the center for the National Development Team for the U.S., going the college route, but has that top six potential in him. I think if you can get either one of those, there's a lot of power guys in that area. Tom Wilson's another name, Plymouth, I'll throw out there. Any one of those, I think, is a good option. You got to supplement the forward depth in the system. We really don't have much. So you have an opportunity there to snag a guy that could potentially get looked over because of the defensive logjam that you have there in the middle.
Okay, now the other part of my question, is there anybody out there, and it might not be Jordan Staal straight up for number eight, or it might be some other stuff coming to the Penguins' way, and that. But let's just say Jordan Staal does go to Carolina. Is there anybody who would be available in that top 10 potentially who would be worth it making a deal like that if you're Ray Shiro?
So I think that answer to this, and I think this might be something that the entire deal is contingent upon, and that's just speculation, but I think the only guy that's worth it in there is Alex Galchenyuk. Alex Galchenyuk last year in the NHL put up 83 points in his first year playing in that league. This year, preseason, ACL injury, played without the entire year, played all of 5 games in the regular season, and I think it was a comeback that was motivated by the draft. So I don't think he would have come back if he had another year of eligibility before his draft year. But this is a guy who's a center. The number one thing that will get overlooked with him is his two-way play. For a guy that's as talented offensively as he is, he gets it done in both zones. You don't see that a lot from somebody his age because he has a real command of the puck. His vision is out of this world. He makes his teammates better. But perhaps the most underrated aspect of his game is he's got a laser of a shot. Doesn't use it as much as he probably could. That's one of the knocks, one of the only knocks on him is he doesn't take a lot of initiative sometimes on the offense. He has to slow the game down. But when he rips it, it's a laser. And he's got a really great offensive acumen. So if he should fall, and the reason he would, again, knee injury, people are going to be scared of that when you have an ACL like that. That's going to be in the back of your mind. Again, there's a lot of stuff that can happen at the beginning of this draft. Mikhail Grigorenko, nobody knows where he's going to go. He's a guy that if he goes early, he might push a guy like Galchenyuk down. So if he's available at 8, that'd be a really viable option because, whether or not he could play next year, I think with a good training camp, maybe he could. It's a definite possibility. So, if you're trading Jordan Staal, you want to pick up a guy that's a lot like him. Defensively, I think he's at where Staal was at the same age. Offensively, maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling.
And Gerjan Gerjic is he's a player who is he's not an American skater. He is European, so you might think that he's a little bit of outside of a Shiro type of pick because he has made a habit of taking these North American players, and to be more specific, American players who were actually born in the U.S. He's a guy who is, as you mentioned, he's been playing in the OHL. He's no stranger to North American style of play. So obviously someone who Shiro would be familiar with and would not be totally outside of the system.
No, and he's Russian born, but North American bred. And that's where he's sown his roots. So the European game, I would say, is actually even probably more unfamiliar to him. So that's a positive. We just live in a world now where there's a flight risk, that exists. And I think that's why you don't see I can tell you that I don't have one player in Russia in my top 30. Maybe not even in the top 50, actually. So if that's becoming a trend, this year Russia just didn't have that talent, and that's kind of an extreme example, but with Galchenyuk, there's a relative sense of safety there where that this kid's going to play in the National Hockey League. That's what he wants to do. So, again, if the ACL should happen to, drop him down a ways, that's going to be a real, real bargain, in my opinion, for that deep into the first round.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good stories in this draft as well. And I know a lot of people are going to have their eye on Henrik Samuelsson because of all the Penguins history and the the draft coming to Pittsburgh with, you know, with Ulf Samuelsson winning two cups with the Pens in the 90s, and Philip Samuelsson already a prospect with the Penguins. It's interesting because he played in Sweden earlier on this year and then went to the Edmonton Oil Kings and had a pretty strong playoff run, and he seems to be – his stock seems to be up a little bit. Where do you see him getting drafted, and do you think that that kind of shift to the North American game there in Edmonton and his great playoff run with Edmonton, do you think that helped him at all?
Yeah, I think it will. Again, you know, there was a sense of North American normalcy there, if you will. Yeah. I have him at 28. He could be a guy that could go early. Maybe, you know, somebody needs a guy with his size, but he could be a guy that falls out of the first round altogether.
Yeah.
If that happens, it's going to be a skating issue. He looks bogged down a lot. That's the way I put it. He's got that. It's a real, if I may, Michelle Ouellette style of skating. So it's an indictment, obviously. But also on top of that, he's also, you can rattle him. You know, he takes poor penalties. He retaliates a lot. You know, 42 penalty minutes in a short amount of games this year. But that being said, top quality shot, a great offensive presence, tough to play against. 6'2", big kid for his age. You know, that's a lot of size already. Good north-south player. Does get back in his own zone. You know, does a great job in his own end. I think he's going to continue to develop a little bit more offensive game. If he can tone it down a little bit and fix that skating, you know, he's going to play in the NHL. You know, at this point, there's a lot of issues there. So I have him at 28. And again, you could see somebody take a flyer on him in the second half, or yeah, he could fall out of the first round altogether.
I mean, we had Michael Hauser on the show last night. That's an interesting story there, because it's his third year of eligibility, and he's had another great year with the London Knights of the OHL goaltender of the year, and he was a huge part of that team. And you can make a good argument that the London Knights may not have won that many games. I think he won, 46 games as a tied an OHL record. So do you think Michael Hauser finally gets drafted? I mean, you got to feel bad for the guy. I feel he's done a lot, especially this past season. Hopefully he can get drafted this time around.
Yeah, not this kind of a quiet year for goaltenders. Malcolm Subban is the consensus, you know, guy to go number one overall there. But for us, we have Hauser at 56.
Okay.
So I do think he's going to get drafted. It's about that time. You don't see a lot of 92 birth year guys going in this year's draft, but you know, I definitely think that this is going to be the year that he gets picked up. Yeah, I without a doubt. Yeah, I think it's it'd be a no brainer for somebody to take a flyer on him. So yeah, definitely.
Well, if you'd like to. If you have a question about any prospect or anything like that, Jesse Marshall's your man. You got to call in 347-202-0344. Or if you have anything about the Penguins or hockey, the awards, like I said earlier, you can call in. That's the number. You can tweet us at the Pens Nation as well. And Jesse, you know, looking at this draft class, is there a particular player that maybe – I know I asked you if who's getting underhyped. Is there anyone that's getting overhyped that maybe – you know, they're pretty high in rankings, but maybe they're not as good as you know, some of the scouts are saying. Is there anybody that's maybe overrated in these rankings?
Well, I think there's a couple answers to that. Quickly, I think that you could make the argument that Mikhail Grigorenko is the most polarizing player in this draft. I have him at 7. Some guys have him at 3, and some guys have him at 25. So, you know, I think that if you ask a lot of people, putting him high, maybe in the top 5 is a little bit too much. All the size in the world, hands for days, but just doesn't show up sometimes. Sometimes when he does show up, it's 5-0, right? So that's one. You know, and this is funny that I'm even answering this question this way, because I have him at number 3. So maybe I'm a little bit guilty of this myself. Matt Dumba, defenseman out of Red Deer, 5'11", 183 pounds. He plays the game like a missile. He's great. He's an explosive skater.
Yeah.
When you see him skate, you think, no, this, he's got Letang on him. You know, it's the kind of skating he has. Plays the game bigger than 5'11", but he's prone to just making really bad decisions. And I think that he's kind of maybe already reached a little bit of his upside. So how much higher can he go from here? So again, I have him at 3, but I think maybe he's another one that I think some people maybe generally overhype to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Jess, you've talked a lot. You've mentioned a lot of skaters, forwards, defensemen, and it's probably not an area that the Penguins are all that interested in, especially with the signing of Okun and with some depth in the organization there in Wilkes-Barre, always having success in goal there, and Killeen. You can never forget Killeen down in the Wheeling.
Yeah, right.
But goaltending, what stands out goaltending-wise in this draft, or is there a whole lot?
There actually is, yeah, especially in the top part of the draft. So within the first 3 rounds, there's any number of guys who you can take that you know are going to give you a lot of good depth. P.K. Subban's brother is the guy everyone talks about, so I'm sure you already hate him. A lot of people have him in the top 10. I don't have him in the top 40 because I just think the skaters are better. But great numbers. He's got a 923 save percentage. Big kid. A lot of comparisons to Carey Price. Another reason to hate him. but he's got a very calm demeanor. So he's not like his brother in that sense. Not really rattable. He's not a rattable. You can't rattle him. Great athleticism too. So really an overall package. But deeper in the draft, you've got a guy, for example, kid playing in the United States Hockey League, John Gillies. John Gillies is a defenseman who had really great numbers in the USHL this year, which is nothing to spit at, and that's a good league. So you know that's something. There's something to say for good save percentage and a low goals against and a couple of shutouts in a league like that at such a young age. So that's one guy. And I think as you move up the ladder a little bit, Matthew Murray is a kid who plays out of the OHL. He's going to be in my top 50, actually. Didn't have the best numbers this year, played on a kind of a poor team, but a lot of talent around that. And then there's a kid coming out of Sweden, Oscar Donsk. Really good numbers for a kid playing against men in the Swedish Elite League. So a lot of depth, like I said, especially in the first 100. I don't know that it's going to have the impact, you know, at the NHL level, but you see a lot of names in there that, you know, teams that are in need of some depth at that position, they have a lot of good options.
Okay, Jesse, you just mentioned something, talking about your top 50, and that's obviously a listing that you put together. How much time do you spend working on this? And is it something that, you know, once draft week comes around, you think, oh, okay, I'm going to rank my top 50 players? I know that's not true, obviously, because I know the work you put into it. But explain exactly what all goes into your system for picking your top 50.
Well, it's a lot of – we don't – the first thing that I like that we do is we don't ever rank players we don't watch.
Yeah.
So sometimes there are some omissions from our ranking and people say, well, wait a second. You know, there's this guy in the top 30 for everybody and you don't even have him in here. Well, it's because we never saw him. So, you know, we don't want to talk about people that we don't watch. So we're like for now, we're already watching 2013 now. You know, we spend a lot of time just watching video. And the cool thing about the draft community is that everybody helps everybody else out. So you swap some video with some people and there's a lot of guys that will put up websites where they'll actually just sit there and take an isolation video of one player that you don't most people don't get to see a lot. So if they live in Canada and, you know, they're touring through there, they'll take a video of it and throw it up, which is always awesome. So, yeah, it's just, you know, we read a lot, watch a lot, you know, try to, you know, get games online where there's, you know, maybe one or two guys or three guys playing in the same game. So it's a little less work. Yeah, we typically, when we got done watching everybody and we're finished up with that, then we'll start to put the ranking together. This year we did it a little bit later than – actually, the last 2 years we've done it a little bit later than we wanted to, just time constraints and not really having the resources and stuff. So it always helps, you know, come out draft week, you know, it gives you a lot more time to think about stuff anyway. So, but, yeah, so, you know, at this point we'll, you know, do the draft thing. We'll finish up, you know, everything this year. We'll take a break and then as training camp rolls around, we'll start getting ready for next year. So it's a fun process that we spent about the sixth year we've done it now, and it's just a great way to spend your time, and we enjoy it. The OHL and the CHL in general is a really great league, so you see a lot of good hockey. So it's nothing wrong with that.
When's the full list going to be available, and where can people find it?
It's our top 50 is five parts, so we're doing 10 minutes time. 30 through 40 will be out tonight or early tomorrow morning. Tomorrow we'll also be doing a guest post on the men's blog. And then tomorrow night we'll be finishing up the top 50. That'll be available if you're attending the draft. We'll have a printable copy of that on the website on faceofffactor.com on Friday. So if you're going to do the draft and you just want to take something with you to be able to reference as you are watching from the Consol Energy Center, you can take that with you. And then we'll also come up with our list of the guys that we kind of are hoping that Ray Sherrill will call on the draft day, and that'll be up Friday.
I'll be at the draft, so I'm definitely going to have to print one of those out. I need something to reference, too. That's great stuff. That's a great job by you guys, and a lot of work goes into it. You got to appreciate that. Another guy I wanted to talk about real quick is Mark Jankowski. You look at his numbers, 53 goals, 41 assists, 94 points in 57 games, and you're saying, wow, how's this guy not number one? But then you look at, he played at Stanstead College. That is kind of was a Quebec boarding school. So obviously he wasn't playing against, the
that
best
was actually,
players.
And that was a high school, Andy.
Yeah.
That was actually, so that's even, even better.
Yeah. So, where do you see, where do you even rank this guy? Obviously, he hasn't, you see all these prospects, they've played in the OHL, WHL, very competitive leagues. And then you look at this guy, playing against, like you said, high schoolers, I guess. How do you rank a guy like that, and how do you, how do you translate those numbers? You really can't until he actually plays in a better league. But where do you rank this guy, and how do you see the teams going about for this guy? He has great numbers, but obviously hasn't played against a great competition there.
Well, if you look back to last year, it was a really heavy high school year. Chris Kreider. Stepped in with the Rangers, and Brock Nelson was another kid that is doing really well for himself at the college level, and then the Penguins took Josh Archibald, who was in high school. Actually, the Penguins have had a lot of good luck with taking guys out of high schools recently. That's been a good thing for them, but he's going to be the last player we rank. He'll be 50 for us.
Okay.
Now, Craig Button has him at 14.
I think it's a little
bit of a stretch, but I'll tell you what he has going for him is he's 6'2". You can't teach 6'2". That's something you just pick up. So I like the size. He's got to fill out. I've seen him listed at 170, but that's tops. So I've never seen him listed at anything more than 170. That's alarming. But watch them play, and it's like watching Evgeny Malkin out against it's like that episode of South Park where the Detroit Red Wings played Stan's team. He was plus 51. And he had 53 goals in 57 games.
Unbelievable.
So it was basically score at your own will for him this year. So he's, I forgot where he's going next year. He's going to college. I'm going to have to look that. Don't quote me on that because I could be wrong. But he's got, size, big center. He obviously knows how to score. That's for sure. So you'll want to see how he plays against guys a little bit bigger. That's the number one thing. But the high school game is a physical game. You don't just go out there and not get touched. So he's not taking somewhat of a beating. A lot of risk there, obviously. You're taking, anytime you take a kid that's playing in high school, you're assuming some kind of risk back. But I think he's, in terms of high school picks, maybe you could say a safe one. Again, just because of his size and those kinds of points are nothing to scoff at.
And he's going to Providence College.
Thank you. I knew it was in the Northeast, but I was going to go Boston. So thank you for that.
no problem. Well, we have about 5 minutes remaining. So last call for any calls, 347-202 0344. I feel like Ashley. Where's Ashley at?
Just sitting here quietly.
Just minding her own business. I know one thing. Ashley always makes fun of us for two things, and I don't even know what we're doing wrong. But she always makes fun of us when we say Montreal and when we say Quebec.
Yeah.
So how the hell are we supposed to pronounce it?
Yeah.
Well, it's just Montreal. It's not like on. It's just Montreal. And it's Quebec. Not like you guys, it's like, you make the K like
Quebec.
And actually, to be honest with you, most of the time we just call it the PQ.
Okay. So Quebec.
So what you're saying, Ashley, is that Pierre Maguire saying Quebec is not right.
Okay, well, if you're taking anything that Pierre Maguire is saying seriously, there's your problem right there.
That is a real problem.
Quebec.
Yeah, let's
just
stop
no
talking
respect,
about where you,
none.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked way too much about where these kids have played juniors. Let's focus on what's important. Where did they play grade school hockey?
I gotta look that up.
Mike careers.
Who are they best friends with when they started off in Timbit hockey at four?
What did he get in math class? What grade?
Can I give my? We had a question on Twitter.
Sure.
What's that? Oh, yeah, I see it.
Well, Zach Boslett just asked me what I thought of Scott Komischuk. I'm not going to answer that. So somebody wanted to know my official endorsement pick.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to say I hope the Penguins get Tom Wilson.
Mm.
Right winger. Get this one, Andy, 6'4", 203 pounds.
Oof.
Yeah.
I like the sound
of guy.
A lot of people like to throw their Lucic out there. I don't know that I'm like willing to go that far. But loves to fight. I would say he's eager to fight. Did not have the best regular season that you will ever see. He did not set the world on fire with his 27 points and 49 games. But when the playoffs rolled around, what sold me on him was 7 goals in 13. So he matched his regular season goal total almost in a third of the, not even a third, a sixth of the games. So he's just a big guy, loves to do the dirty work. And you throw him out there with a center, like a Crosby Malkin, I think you get a little something special there. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's keeping my fingers crossed for that. But I would put money on the Maple Leafs taking him. That's Brian Burke has already got a picture of him hanging in his office. So.
Just like Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Right next to Rick Nash, if you can ever make that deal happen.
No, Nash is going to Philly. You didn't hear that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't pay attention to anyone.
Ryan
I can't
Suter
follow.
Too. And Parise, they're all going there.
They're all going to Philly.
Every single one.
Everybody gets $10 million.
It's going to be like the Miami Heat. They're just going to sign like all these guys.
Have a press conference.
It's going to be like the Florida Panthers press conference where they introduced 9 players at the same time last year. That was pretty crazy.
It worked out for him, though.
It did. You got to admit that.
I heard the Flyers going to take on Ilya Kovalchuk's contract, and he's going to play goal.
Goodness. Kovalchuk and goal.
Where's Jaromir Jagr going to play next year?
Oh, Lord.
Who cares?
The right answer, Ashley. That's the right answer.
I'm not even ready to entertain those thoughts yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste my time on that. I'm sick of
it. We should have an annual gathering at the airport for the turtle mating. That should be it should be like a pilgrimage.
A national, like a holiday.
Yeah.
Like one day a year.
Shut that runway down.
Oh, man.
He'd be the master of ceremony.
Yeah. Rossi is the chief of that whole fiasco.
Yeah. Well, all right, we got about 20 seconds remaining here in the live edition. So we'd like to thank Jesse Marshall for coming on tonight. Doing a great job. You definitely know your stuff, and I feel a lot more educated about the draft. I hope the listeners feel the same way. So thanks, Jesse, for coming on. Thanks to Ken and Ashley as well. As always, thanks for the listen. Thanks for listening to the show. We will be on tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So listen to that. We're out.
Listen to that.